Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2 Recap here on Reality TV Rehab-Ups. I am Mike Bloom, as always, talking about this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2, but I am not alone. I am joined by two fantastic people. First, a guy who just came back from his own pooches with prolapse benefit, Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how you doing?
Mike, I don't want to say I have magical powers, but I did call that Fifi O'Hara would be eliminated last week, and girl, here we are.
Absolutely, and we're in a great place right now. I know of one person that probably is not in such a great place, and we'll definitely talk about that, but I think, you know, you can promptly throw off the veil now, Brent. We have officially put ourselves in the best-case scenario. Let's welcome back someone else who has been gone a couple weeks, but we are so happy to welcome her back into the fold. She's our own version of a returning queen, if you will. Allie Lasher. Allie, welcome back.
The bitch is back. This is the perfect episode, I think, for me to come back on. I'm getting like a real Revenge of the Queens moment. I'm so perfect. Happy I've missed you guys, but I am thankful to Lita and Haley for slaying it in my absence.
Ellie, I have to say, with the voice that you currently have, I'm getting like some B. Arthur realness from you right now. So I really love what you got going on. Very sultry. Yeah.
Thank you for being a podcast friend, Allie. We appreciate it. So before we talk about the Revenge episode, Allie, since you, as you mentioned, you have been gone the past couple weeks, it's been a very eventful half a month, what with the Herstory challenge and Ginger's elimination and all the fallout that's been happening with Fifi and Alyssa, last episode with the Sheekwolves and Alyssa's elimination, and most of paramount, I would say, the big fallout that happened with Fifi over social media last week. I would love to get your takes on all of that in general before we jump into episode 5.
I thought you were going to say most paramount is that I actually saw Thorgy Thor live.
I know. Let's start off with that, because Lita did cover it in brief when she was on the podcast last week. Did you have anything to add about your experience at the show aside from the random Big Brother call out that happened?
No, it was just phenomenal. It's great to hang with Lita. Thorgy is a just true professional. She's an amazing performer. So I'll just leave it with whatever Lita wanted to leave you guys with. But it was phenomenal. Her intro queens were good too, so it was just a really good night. That's why I still don't have a voice, just from that 2 weeks ago.
Wow, so resonating.
As far as the last 2 weeks, I don't know if you guys have seen, Brent and Mike, you're allowed to pick the way we record a little, backstage action here, is we have to type in a name onto the recording thing, and I've typed an Alyssa Edwards convert. Honestly, if Alyssa was not on this season, God help us, I don't know what we would have done over the last 2-3 weeks, especially this episode.
Now I want to like play back Allie's audio from our cast preview like a month ago, and just to see the comparison. It's very Trumpian.
I have said before, I'll say it again, there's nothing I like more than the person I hate the most in the beginning become the person I like most at the end. I will eat crow when I need to eat crow, and I think the last 2-3 weeks represent that. One thing that really pissed me off is the elimination of Ginger, the response that Alyssa got. I mean, it's completely absurd. I did not think that the difference between Katya and Ginger was so much so that it was like such a sneak move by Alyssa. And as Alyssa said this week, if I wanted to be strategic, I would have gotten rid of Katya. I'm not afraid of Ginger. So I just thought the last few weeks were a bunch of bullshit, and I can't wait to complain about it tonight.
Good. That's what we're here for.
Absolutely.
Today, it's 1:40 in the afternoon. Like, tonight!
And I'm sure we are going to hear many of Allie's thoughts about Fifi in general, because this really was Fifi's swan song, but that swan was promptly like choked, thrown off a bridge, lit on fire. They drowned Fifi this episode. Brent, I do have to ask, I know I sort of put on the tinfoil headdress last week and wondered if after Fifi's meltdown last week, would production bury her a little bit? Do you think that might have happened this past week, or do you think it was already in the can and Fifi's edit was just already spoken for?
No, I'm actually, you know, I was not with you last week, and now I'm kind of with you. I heard some things in this episode that led me to believe that perhaps they might have altered the editing over the past week or so. And maybe these things were in the can. Maybe the producers would come on Twitter and say, no, we didn't do that. But just it does feel like they really leaned into this. We know Fifi's going to come for us, and we're going to put all of her tea out on the table for you all to see, and you can be the judge. That's how it felt to me. Like when you talked about Alyssa Edwards in her confessional talking about, you know, Fifi is looking for a redemption or something, or redemption, or and I don't really remember Fifi talking about that before. Like she's talked about it on social media, but I don't really remember her on the show too much saying, you know, I need a redemption. This is what I need. Maybe she was talking about that behind the scenes, but it was odd that it came up all of a sudden because that's what Fifi's been harping on. Allie, if you don't know, Fifi's been harping for the past few weeks on social media about the fact that production promised her a redemption edit, that you need to come back. We love you. And Fifi feels really, really hurt that they have misrepresented things that she has said or taken things out of context. On the other hand, Fifi doesn't have a lot of credibility because the things that she has accused Logo of, Loco then released the raw footage of, and Fifi was lying. So I don't really have a lot of sympathy for Fifi, and we can get into that. But it's been a nasty couple weeks.
Absolutely. So let's get into the beginning of this episode. When we do see, we had been ruminating, if you will, for weeks as to what this revenge twist will be. Turns out it's sort of a buyback with a little bit of a twist that I'm sure we'll get into later. But we talked at the end of last week about the dramatic reveal of the queens in the mirror. It seems like the one that really did not benefit from this was Fifi O'Hara, who was essentially talking crap about Alyssa and claiming that she threw people under the bus. Once the queens come in, and by the way, I was so happy that the queens got to enter showing off their own 2-in-1 looks. I know Brent had mentioned beforehand how all the queens get a list of looks that they need to bring into the season, so they're not, you know, having to create stuff on the fly. And so I'm happy that they were able to show that off. I especially love Tatiana's like Sue Ellen Mishki-esque bra as a top in her second look. Mm-hmm. But it seems like Fifi essentially gets caught out, and this entire first segment is dedicated to Alyssa and Fifi arguing. Allie, as a recent Alyssa Edwards convert, what did you think about the beginning of this episode? And obviously, Alyssa is going to be one of the people to come back. I mean, did this cement, from an ending perspective, her spot back in the competition?
I mean, I think Fifi just looked like, I mean, exactly what she accused. Basically, everything Fifi accused Alyssa of being in that moment, acting like a child, playing the victim, was exactly what Fifi was doing. Alyssa walks in and is like, there's nothing I wouldn't say to your face, so just say it to my face. And Fifi can't. She clams up. She's she's just a big bully. And when you call out the bully, usually there's nothing backing it up. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, everything Fifi said when Alyssa was there was a total cliche. I don't understand how Alyssa was playing the victim at all. I think that was complete bullshit. And Fifi became, in this moment, like one of my least favorite people on reality TV, I think. I'm not willing to say my least favorite, but definitely one of them.
Right. Now, so just a little behind the scenes. So this is, you know, we're going to weave in some of the social media things, some of the things that Fifi has been saying after the fact. So for the, you know, the when you guys saw in the past episode, when you saw Fifi talking smack about Alyssa and then the queens appearing behind the mirror, a couple things. If you notice, the queens are on the other side of the room. Normally, when they come back into the workroom, they go to the right as we're looking at the TV screen. Okay. For some reason, this time they went to the left. And that was a little bit odd. Well, it's not odd. The producers had them do it that way. When the queens are coming back in, Fifi is saying that, you know, a lot of queens were talking smack about Alyssa, but they told them to wait. Okay, this is normal TV reality speak. Like, you know, you want to get things on camera. You don't want them, you know, left on the where you didn't capture them. So they had them go over to the left side. Fifi said, well, I mean, after the fact on social media, I should have known something was up. Because they positioned you in such a way where Fifi was directly on the right, basically getting the face crack of the century when Alyssa came in the mirror. And then they said, okay, well, Fifi, why did you eliminate Alyssa? They turned the cameras on. Now, Fifi at this point is saying, well, that they made me look bad. But I'm like, girl, they didn't put those words into your mouth. You didn't have to be a complete and utter bitch when you were describing Alyssa. You know how many fans Alyssa has. Why in the world, if you're looking for a redemption, why did you come for her? Okay? You did not have to say it like that. You could have just said, you know what? I thought Alyssa was the weakest of the two. She's a lovely girl. I can't wait to see more of her drag, but I would have also eliminated her. That's all you have to say. But instead, you can't keep your big mouth shut. You want to go off and act like a bully, like Allie says, when Alyssa's not around, and you got clocked for it. So don't come onto social media and say, well, you know, the producers screwed me over by positioning me that way. But girl, you gave them the rope. You gave them the rope, not the producers.
Exactly. And yeah, we can obviously take, I think, everything that Fifi says with a grain of salt after what we talked about last week was revealed, the thing that she said at the Chicago viewing party that turned out to be false about the mixed up comments
utterly
in
false.
Week three. But I believe that Alaska and Roxy were at a viewing party in Chicago this week, and they had confirmed that what Fifi had claimed about the producers lining them up is true. But I completely agree, Brent. I think that Fifi did not have to dive that far into it. Yes, the producers might have been setting things up, but she didn't, if she really didn't want to play that game,
right,
she didn't need to. I think one of my big pet peeves on reality TV are people who argue with others and then accuse them of getting defensive, which I just don't understand, because they're getting defensive because you're yelling at them about something. You know, I would get defensive if someone was yelling at me, accusing me of doing something. So I don't understand why Alyssa was, or why Fifi was trying to use that as a tactic of like, oh, why are you getting defensive? Are you afraid that I said something that was true? No, she's yelling back at you because you're screaming at her and raising your voice about, you know, all these accusations that you're making. But this is the beginning of the end for Fifi, as we're going to see over the next of these 40 plus minutes or so. Before we go into the challenge itself, there is one more thing that I do want to bring up that was a little bit of a surprise, or as Alyssa accuses, maybe a little bit of a stunt. Ginger sort of gets into this argument a little bit, right? She says, she brings up the fact that, oh, well, you know, I think it's sweet satisfaction since you were the one who sent me home last week. Ginger says that if Katya had been chosen to be eliminated by Alyssa 2 weeks beforehand, Ginger would have said, no, 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 stop that right there. I will volunteer myself to go home. So no matter what, Ginger would be going home. Allie, actual factual or actual craptual?
Yeah, no, there was no chance in hell that Ginger was volunteering this tribute. I mean, I think the way that Ginger is dealing with this is she is friends with Katya, and so to bitch at Alyssa about it is to also say, you should have sent my best friend home. And then when she gets busted in that, because Katya's like, hey, it was a difficult decision, then she's like, oh, I wouldn't have let you go home. You know, it was just like a total bullshit save. And I think Alyssa shut her right down by just being like, I should have sent Katya home if I was being strategic. And then Ginger's just like, okay. Silenced.
Right, exactly. I agree. Totally actual crap show. Like, what? What the hell? Like, how much of a stink did you make about Alyssa eliminating you, but you can't own the fact that by not eliminating you, it would have eliminated Katya, who is your best friend, and you're now saying that you wanted her to eliminate Katya only for you to then step up like a victim and say, oh, no, no, I'm going to be the one who's eliminated. First of all, Rue may have eliminated you both. She might have said, girl, bye to both of you. So stop with that. I really lost a lot of respect for Ginger. Like, what? I mean, maybe, look, okay, Katya's right there. Maybe she's trying to save face. I'm giving Fifi crap for saying I lost all respect for Rue later on. So I don't want to say I lost all respect for Ginger. I was disappointed with what Ginger said because I didn't believe it to be truthful, but I love Ginger. So there you have it. And Mike, didn't you meet Ginger? Like,
yes.
Did I see a picture on Facebook or something?
So friend of the podcast, Mike Block, was able to get me a couple of tickets to Ginger's album release show that happened at the Laurie Beecham Theater in Midtown this past week. There are a lot of queens that perform down there. In fact, next up down there are performers like Trixie Mattel, Courtney Act, Latrice Royale, Sharon Needles are all doing shows there in the next couple months. But it was for Ginger's album. She sang about 6 songs and she told a few stories. So I'll briefly go on a tangent about that. I mean, I did not expect it to be so emotional. I think watching Ginger Minj on both of her seasons on Drag Race, I think emotional is probably number 50 on the list of adjectives to describe
her. Right.
To the point of where I think a lot of people were accusing her of being the mean girl of season 7 based on her comments. But she was, you know, she was talking about her grandfather's death, who was the closest man in her life. She was breaking down on stage and she talked about how outside of drag, she has such a crippling social anxiety that only in drag can she really talk with people. And she decided to sort of break down those walls where at the end, she just started getting out of drag. And it was, for lack of a better term, beautiful to watch someone who had been sort of hiding under such a guise for so long where she felt comfortable to actually show Joshua, which is, you know, his name, to show him to the audience instead of Ginger Minj was really, really interesting to watch. She did have a question and answer round at the end. I am now regretting the choice to not write in. Would you have really left if, you know, if Elizette's like you, but I didn't want to be that shady. But I did get to meet her. She was incredible. She said my wife was stunning and she was the nicest person I have met in quite some time. She gave me a hug immediately, smiling, bubbly, completely the opposite from what I would have experienced by watching Ginger on season 7. So it was an absolutely incredible experience and I'm so happy to have met her. And now I'm a little miffed that, you know, we didn't see too much of her this season. We'll see her take her final bow this episode, but it was a really incredible show overall.
Great to hear. Yeah, I wondered what was going on when I saw that pop up in my Facebook feed. Like, there's Mike Bloom with, oh my God, Ginger Minj. You go, girl. Get it.
Yeah, she was, and we talked about musical theater for a hot second, so it was nice to bond over
there. Terrible
that.
For you, I'm sure. By the way, I'm looking on Ginger's Twitter. I'm trying to find if she's ever answered about whether or not she really would have eliminated. It looks like she's saying emotions were high. I had a moment. We were past it a few minutes later. It was a misunderstanding. So I don't know if she's really being honest about that, or maybe she was just like talking out of school, but whatever. Like we know it was never going to happen. End of story.
Yeah, this is like her stick to the plan moment. Right. So, but let's get to the Maxi Challenge itself, a stand-up comedy show in pairs. Brent, we have seen a lot of comedy challenges in the past. Obviously the roast is going to be brought up in this episode. The stand-up episode from season 6 is probably the closest sibling to this challenge. Do you like these types of challenges where even the most non-comedy queen is going to be forced in the spotlight and told to be funny?
Yes, because at least you have to act like an entertainer on stage. Look, there are many things, there are many queens who are not particularly funny. Roxy Andrews, not a particularly funny queen, but you can write a few things that are fun, get out there, have a good time, and speak well. And you could see that even just doing that, she really struggled with that. And, you know, most of these drag queens, they go around to clubs. They're usually hosting if they're there because they're usually the star of the show. And you've got to be comfortable. You know what? I will say this. I thought that Roxy did a better job. We can talk about this when we get to it. But I thought she did a better job. But overall, I think, you know, the queen should have been a little bit more prepared for a challenge like this coming their way because it's very fun for the audience. I love seeing it because it makes the queens think on their feet, like as they're working through the skit together. Like, and they said, Katya said that after the fact that it was supposed to be 2 to 3 minutes, it could be anything you wanted. So they had the freedom to create their own characters, to be themselves. And I like giving when contestants make choices, I think they were talking about this on Survivor. I think Tyson and Steven were. When you make contestants make choices, that's when it gets really fun because you have Fifi and Coco, they decide to do a whole skit where it really wasn't even themselves. And then you have, you know, Detox and Tatiana, and they're playing themselves. They don't feel like they need to hide behind characters. Not that that's bad, but that's what they decided to do. So again, choices, as Tatiana would say.
Allie, what do you think is the optimal strategy from this? Brent just outlined probably the two main paths you can go down, which is really turn it into a character-based thing and just adopt a completely different personality and make it into more of, as they'll outline in the episode, an SNL sketch more so than a really live dynamic live comedy feel, or you could just opt to be yourself and just sort of let loose from there. Do you think there's really an optimal strategy for any queen to take?
Yeah, it's tough, I think, especially because stand-up is hard for anyone, especially people who don't do comedy. I don't know. I think we see, like, based on the judges' reactions, I mean, you can come and do whatever you want. Like, I'm actually surprised here that Katya said that it could be anything you want, because then we see Then we see Coco and Fifi get read for filth for doing an SNL skit, going, doing something differently, and it doesn't pay off. I mean, I think a lot of the judges really want you to just kind of stay within their lines for better or for worse. I think what Alyssa and Alaska's was my favorite, where they were pretty much themselves. But it was funny. I mean, it's just based on the material. I guess if you can't do funny material, you have to do something like a Coco and a Fifi, which was enjoyable. It just wasn't my favorite.
It wasn't funny. That was the problem, girl. Like, you know, you got to make RuPaul and the judges laugh. And, you know, it was interesting, but it was like, I kept waiting for the jokes to land. And, you know, when Ross was critiquing them, and maybe I'm getting a little bit ahead, but when Ross was critiquing them, he was like, oh my God, you need jokes. And oh my God, he's right. Like, you need jokes. Like, you can't do a skit like this and keep the audience entertained for 2.5 minutes with a bunch of Banji girl realness, because this is the same character that Fifi did from the season four, the commercials. Exactly. It's the same thing. Ruth's seen it before. It wasn't funny then. It's not funny now.
And this was Coco also did the same character.
That's the one I can't. Coco was at least funny. Like when she was doing her Cheetos and, you know, she was like, you need to do this. The problem in this routine, and maybe we can just talk about this routine since we're talking about it, but Fifi was the straight man the whole time. You know, Coco had all the jokes. What jokes there were, Coco had them. Any funny moments, Coco had them. Fifi had nothing. She was just rolling her eyes and like, okay, mama, give me that. Give me some more. Okay, I need some makeup, mama. You know, like, it's one note and it's not funny. I don't see how you think that's funny.
We can talk about this routine now. It just was not. It wasn't good. You can have verisimilitude to characters all you want to, and you could dress down to the nines. I thought the costumes themselves were at least fun. Say what you will about Fifi's Chola character, but I liked the, you know, as Chadrick will say, the Shanae nails and the braided hair with all the clips in it, and being pregnant, which was never brought up in the sketch for some reason. I thought, the one good bit was the aforementioned Cheetos bit. I think, why does Fifi have to sing in everything? It's just, and granted, this was supposed to be like a bad song, but it wasn't that different from the first song Fifi did in the first episode, in my opinion. And that key joke, which was like, oh, it was so hyped up that it was the only joke that was featured in their, you know, rehearsal with Ross. It landed with a thud, like that big metallic key, probably when it fell and hit the stage. It was clearly the worst. I was wondering before any rehearsal happened, like, okay, it seems like they're burying Fifi here, but maybe her and Coco, they're sort of like the odd couple. Maybe they'll come around and they'll really surprise us. No surprises here. It turns out that it's not going to work out for them whatsoever. Allie, do you have any thoughts about their bit?
Yeah, the best part of their bit was Katya's calling it the live action off Broadway production of Hookers at the Corner. I thought that was amazing. I mean, the most interesting thing to come out of this pairing for me was the workroom stuff. I don't know if I can segue into that a little bit. I mean, this again was just the thing with Fifi here is how Fifi's like, oh, I didn't ask for this drama with Alyssa and whatever else. I mean, she is the most painfully unaware person that I've seen on TV in a while. And that says a lot considering almost everyone on reality television is painfully unaware. And it's like Fifi is so consumed and so worried about her image that it's absolutely become debilitating. And it's like she can't even be herself. Like, I'd almost rather see her being this big bitch and owning it than, you know, as we'll get to later with what she does with Tatiana at the end, like just throwing everyone under the bus left and right, but acting like she's not and accusing everyone else of doing it. So the skit was bad. The workroom stuff was worse. That's really all I can say.
Before we dive into the rest of these pairs, I do want to go back to the introduction of the challenge briefly, because we find out a little bit of a twist on the typical buyback structure that might come with RuPaul's Drag Race. So in this challenge, if two pairs end up in the top, then the returning queens from those two pairs will lip sync for their life. That facet is back, which is fantastic. And the winner will come back into the competition. That winner will also directly choose The queen from the bottom who goes home. I guess that's the form of their revenge in a way. Brent, when you found out the details of what this twist would be, we finally found out the entire spectrum of what the revenge is. Do you feel like it was satisfying for all the weeks of buildup?
Gosh, I think so, because they got the villain they wanted and Fifi gave them all the material that they needed. I mean, look, let's be honest. We knew where this train was headed. My only surprise was that Tatiana got to come along for the ride. Like, I always thought Alyssa was coming back into the competition. I knew that she was going to eliminate Fifi. I mean, let's be real. We knew that was going to happen. I called it last week. It happened. And then Tatiana also gets to come back, which honestly, in hindsight, I should have seen coming. As far as the twist goes, I thought people said they were confused about it on Twitter. I think the only thing they're confused about is the fact that, like, somehow both of them get to come back. But remember, we lost a queen with Adore Delano just up and quitting the competition like a big whiner. So that's why they needed a second queen to come back. It was always really easy. It wasn't going to be fair. Like, that's the thing I think people are struggling with. Like, Rue is not fair, people. It's her show and you're just living in it. She gets saying that the two queens who've already been eliminated, if they end up in the top, they get to lip sync, and whoever wins that is going to eliminate one of you bitches is here, which basically trading places with you. That's what's going to happen. They're going to get their revenge because they need their revenge. And I think that people outside are like, well, why do they get to eliminate them? Because they've already been eliminated themselves. I'm like, girl, just hop on the train and ride along. This is how it's going to be.
Yeah, and I think the change in format as well allows for these rules. I mean, yes, it's a little bit of a change in format, but it's a change in a format that's been alive for 4 weeks at this point. It's not like we're changing the tried and true formula in the first place. They could still fudge with it a little bit. Moving on to the picks, I would say they're fairly obvious at first. They pick, I guess, in reverse elimination order. So Alyssa goes with Alaska for a redo. Plus, I mean, it's a comedy challenge. I feel like Alaska is by far the number one pick. Ginger goes with Katya. Tatiana is left with a choice here. She goes with Detox. It's sort of like what happened last week with the sequels, which I also, again, involves Detox, where nobody wants Fifi or Coco, or Fifi or Roxy. Coco is left with a choice. She ends up picking Fifi. Allie, do you think this was a consequence of Roxy eliminating Coco? Do you think, had Coco been eliminated in some other form, not by Roxy, that Coco would have picked her in this instance?
I'm just still getting over the fact that you didn't want to know how I felt about this twist. I'm going to take that in consideration when I give one of you guys the challenge.
Oh, no.
But no, I mean, I think we'd have something to say about that if Alaska chopped her and it was a decision between Alaska, who's great at comedy, and Fifi. I mean, I think leaving Roxy behind, you could say it's because she didn't want to work with her because of the chop, but it's really just because Roxy's a complete dud in this kind of challenge.
All right, well, I'm not going to pull a Fifi, and I'm going to try to make it up to you, Allie. What were your thoughts about the revenge twist when it was finally revealed?
Oh, no. The best gift anyone could give to me is something to complain about. So, like, forget my birthday. It's the best gift. I can complain about that for you.
Forget Allie's birthday, everyone.
Did this satisfy you, though? I mean, we've been talking about a jury. We've been talking about potential things that could happen. So did you like the way that this played? Because I really thought, from my standpoint, I thought that it landed. I really did. I thought they got what they wanted with the mirror and the whole face crack thing. And then the queens coming out with their, you know, 2-in-1 looks and then having to work with them. Like, the queens had to know that something was up when Adore Delano quit, that someone was probably going to come back. They had to know that. And
This the way that it worked out. I mean, I thought I actually really liked that they basically had to come in and do like a legitimate challenge, like come all of them coming back for one episode. And in terms of fairness, like, I thought it was fair. Like, Alyssa was in the top and Tatiana was in the top. It wasn't like they just competed against each other, you know, the four rejects, and then one of them got to chop someone randomly. I mean, I think in terms of, like, if you look at the way other people come back in other shows, it's these challenges that would never, I'll talk about the show I podcast about, The Challenge. The time they got to come back, they had to play these essentially mini challenges, and then one group got to come back in. And it was like the other teams have been working their ass off in these death-defying stunt challenges. And one team basically played a game of checkers and got to come back in the house. So for this, I mean, I love that they did like an authentic RuPaul's Drag Race competition, earned their stripes, to borrow from the challenge again, and kicked ass and got to chop someone. I also think we really felt the effects of Adore, as you were saying, Brent, this whole episode. I mean, Roxy being the MC has to be an effect of them anticipating having had one more queen for this
challenge. Yeah, I think if Adora hadn't quit, I think there would have been five pairs, and either they were all going to do comedy bits or one of the pairs was going to have to MC. We've seen pairs MC before. I think Trixie Mattel was in a like MC hosting bit with somebody mm-hmm. else during her gig. So like, I mean, it could have gone either way. I think the fact that Roxy, you know, yeah, she was by herself, but on the other hand, she didn't have to worry about anybody else. And she was free to like go with whatever she wanted to. And she had a chance to be the eliminator herself, which none of the other queens had a chance to do that.
That's true. Drew did tell her, you know, you get to be the MC. If you win, you both get to choose someone to bring back and someone to eliminate, which would have been really incredible to watch. But I don't know. I just had a feeling with Roxy in combination with this position, I feel like they would not have to pull out the special circumstances for that. I do want to talk briefly about Chelsea Peretti's seemingly random appearance in this episode. Allie, what did you think about Miss Peretti's overall guest appearance on this episode?
I mean, I really thought nothing of it. I mean, I feel like they've kind of been underutilizing the guest judges, or maybe it's just that's my impression.
I thought she was flat. I didn't see much there. It was basically all Ross, like girl bye. Like there wasn't much of it. Sorry.
Yeah, and it sucks because I love Chelsea Peretti. She has a fantastic stand-up special on Netflix, which is like very atypical stand-up. I very much recommend you guys all check it out. It's really a lot of fun.
This episode sponsored by Chelsea Peretti.
It should. I mean, they might as well put her name on there because that'll get her some more screen time. I think this might have, again, been at the loss of, you know, if this episode had been an hour and a half, it would have been fun to have her in that rehearsal room a little bit more. I feel like we were rehearsing for like maybe 8 minutes at most just to get quick glances. And like you said, Brent, it was pretty much Ross giving the comments the entire time. So if this was the spot to bring her back in, I'm saddened that it had to happen. And she wasn't able to be there for the stand-up itself. She just sort of guessed it and then wasn't able to appear. There were too many seats that were filled at the judges lineup. So unfortunately, I guess hopefully it's not one and done for Chelsea Peretti. Overall, I guess we can sort of segue and talk about the challenge itself now. We can talk about the performances of each of these pairs. But first, Rue outlined that there were going to be Drag Race Illuminati past contestants in the audience. So we can play a fun game here. Which queens did you guys recognize in the audience of the many times that it cut to them for reaction? We'll start with Brent.
Well, I mean, you obviously can't miss Latrice Royale. I think they went to her for a few of the, you know, deadpan looks when a joke didn't land. You also saw Porkchop throwing some shade. I saw Laganja Estranja with her House of Edwards there rooting for Alyssa. So I love that. And it was very fun. I mean, like, basically, I also saw, the queen who's with Ornacia. What was her name?
Oh, God.
You guys don't know?
I know exactly who you're talking about. The 90s
yes,
club queen.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm going to look her up. Look, Allie, go and I'll look her up while you guys do that.
No, I mean, I think Brent hit a lot of the highlights. I saw Miss Trinity K. Bonet, I believe, in the mm-hmm. audience. That was great. And also Gia Gunn.
Yeah, right? Gia Gunn. Gia Gunn love her. Absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, Ornacia, I was thinking it's Vivacious. That's the queen.
Oh, but, yes.
Right.
Yes. Ornacia was hard to, it was hard to recognize her without another head on top of her.
I know,
right? Head.
Exactly. That's why we're so thrown, Mike.
So I have a full list here from Wikipedia. And again, it's Wikipedia. So like Fifi, take everything with a grain of salt, but this is the list that they came up with, and this I guess is an order of their appearances on RuPaul's Drag Race. So I have Akashia, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, I haven't seen the first season, Jessica Wild, Mystique Summers Madison,
yes.
Nicole Page Brooks was there, mm-hmm.
That's who I could not think of her name.
Sonique was there, Alexis Mateo, Mariah from season 3, Yara Sophia, Miss Congeniality was there, Jiggly Caliente, may we call her Jiggly. Madame LaQueer was there.
Yay!
Monica Beverly Hills, I think one of the first transgender contestants on the show. Vivian Pinay, the aforementioned Gia Gunn. Kelly Mantle, if you remember, super famous drag queen that got eliminated first on season 6.
Right.
Laganja Estranja, as mentioned before. Trinity K. Bonet, Vivacious. Jaden Dior Fierce. And Mrs. Kasha Davis. So a full lineup, I guess, with the filming, no season 8 queens were there, but still a packed house, it seems.
It was really fun, I have to say. And they were, you know, I know Katya said in the interim that most of the queens were going to be like sitting on their hands, you know, sucking a lemon or something. But no, they were there. They were there to have a good time. You don't want to go and not have a good time. Plus, you know, RuPaul's watching. Like, come on. They're going to be totally fair to you. And I think they were.
All right. So let's start off with the person who intros the show and appears progressively throughout. Roxy Andrews as the MC of the evening. Allie, we have a question from Mike Block who asks us, whose performance wilted more, Roxy Andrews or Tasha Salad? Give me your thoughts about Roxy's overall performance as a host and her sudden transformation into Tasha Salad halfway through, whether that was good or bad.
It was tough because as a drag queen, I mean, I think Roxy really got a free pass here as the MC. I mean, what drag queen, what who does this kind of work, entertainment, who goes out to the club scene, can't MC a drag show? I mean, she, I thought she came out, she looked good, not that that matters as much, and she had good energy. And then, as Carson said, like, it just went totally off the rails. What do you say? Someone took the needle off the record, I don't know, some record machine,
millennial record player your hand there.
Thing. No, I'm kidding. But I'm serious. So I think I was excited when she came out in the second look. I thought it gave her new, like it changed the momentum because she was kind of crashing and burning, and she landed a few jokes. And then I wanted to see her either go back or to do another look. Like if Roxy had just churned out look after look and did different characters, I think that could have saved her. Otherwise, I think it totally fell flat after the first
round. Yeah, did you have the bar? Oh, sorry, I was just asking. Did you have the bar set for Roxy low coming into this, and did she step over that bar as a result?
She, you know, believe it or not, she did. I mean, I expected so little from Roxy. I remember how terrible she did during the stand-up comedy challenge, the roast, during her season. And I thought that she did much better. Was she great? Hell no. Was she good? Hell no. But she was average. I mean, she was learning. I could see that she put in some work. She seemed to have a better handle on how to be funny and how to get the crowd to laugh. I think there were a couple places where, as you know, I used to be a public speaker, you know, speech and debate in high school, and you get talking really, really, really fast and you're just stumbling over your words. And then when you're in front of people, you get really nervous. And so that also makes you stumble. So that's what was happening for her early on. She started stumbling over her words. And when you do that, then the jokes don't land anymore. And then you start to get in your head. I thought it was a good idea. I know she had already planned it to bring back Tasha Salad. You know what? She needs a crutch. She does. Mm. She's still learning how to do this. She needs a crutch and she can lean on it. And again, as Allie noted, a few of the jokes landed, a few of them didn't. I thought it was funny when she kept like there. You could see that there were times where she was waiting for the audience to laugh and they didn't. And then she would look at them again. And I think one time even Detox catcalled from the corner like, yep, we got it, girl. We got it. You know? So
now, do either of you guys know, does Roxy do that? I've never seen Roxy at a show, but she said, like, this is what I do. You know, you said she's learning, but does she do this? Well, outside of the show?
Yes, she does, and I saw two shows of her where she was doing that, and she was very funny, but she's not trying to be funny. Like, she's just coming out and reading people. Like, she's grabbing the straight boy in the front row, you know, and having fun with him, and she's, you know, telling the lesbian that she needs a new haircut. I mean, she, you know, she's having a blast because she's not being judged. You know, when you have to come out and prepare something, you can't just wing it in front of RuPaul. You've got to have something, you know, and I think that's where she's really struggling. She just, in order for her to do well, I think like she has to just relax because when Roxy's in confessional, I don't know about you guys, but I think she's very funny. She cracks mm-hmm. me up and she's smiling and having a good time. Like that's the real Roxy. When she gets on stage and she thinks she's being judged and it's called quote unquote stand up, that's when she freezes. She's just got to work past that. I thought she did a pretty good job this episode.
Yeah.
I think that's really fair because I'll stop jumping in. I think it's one of those things where you tell yourself or people tell you you're bad at being a comedy queen or acting. And then anytime that challenge comes up, you're going to freeze. And I almost think I didn't love these two challenges from this week and last week back to back because it kind of hit the same points, right? Like Roxy suffered in the acting challenge because she gets told she's not an actor. And now here again in an acting challenge, comedy challenge, she's going to suffer again. I thought these were, I think, too similar to be week after week.
I will disagree with you. I didn't think they were too similar, but that's totally okay. You can think that. On the other hand, you know, this is where RuPaul's going.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm just saying, though, this is where Ru is going because Ru doesn't want queens who just stand up there and look pretty. You know, that's not drag anymore. They want more. They want more from their queens. Well, I thought Vala Chachki was very funny myself, but you know, she wants more than that. She wants them to be more well-rounded. And you know, I think this was always going to be the plan coming into this week, is to make them pair up with the eliminated queens and have them fight to the death in a lip sync for your life.
And I think it's different enough in that they had to work last week with the albeit horrible dialogue, and you can only elevate that so far. Whereas this time, the pressure is definitely more on you to not only create your own material and also deliver it. And Roxy also is in a different situation this week because she doesn't have to work with someone. Last week, they said Fifi stole the show from you and you didn't have enough scenery to chew on, and that's why you're in the bottom. Here, she's sort of out on her own. I mean, as a drag queen, I feel like hosting is something you have to do because I feel like that's what a lot of queens do. It's inherent within their skill set. So I definitely feel like, you know, she has the skills there, and hosting is definitely not an easy thing to do necessarily. But it's interesting that what you bring up, Brent, this whole like psychological aspect of, if she knows that she has to be funny and is in front of an audience, that puts much more pressure on her than if she's just being Roxy and being fancy free. I wonder if she could have pulled up audience members and, you know, interacted with them a little bit, because if that's what she's comfortable with, that way she doesn't need to focus on everything that's going on around her. She could really make it her own. I mean, I know Michelle, I think, said in the judges' critiques, like, you had the chance to steal the show. I don't know if that necessarily is true, especially coming from someone like Roxy, who would be so uncomfortable with this. I think Tasha Salad's appearance was fine. I was one and done with those salad dressing jokes. Like, there were a lot of salad dressing puns, and I'm a fan of puns. That's why I watch RuPaul's Drag Race. But there was one too many. I was feeling a little sick from all the dressing I was consuming. And I agree with you, Allie. It would have been fun to see more characters, almost like pull a Bob the Drag Queen or Chad Michaels in the Snatch Game, and like,
yes,
come out, keep coming out as different characters. That would liven up things at least a little bit. But Roxy ended up in the bottom. But like you said, Brent, I think she worked hard enough where, especially in comparison to someone like Fifi, who seemed like she was ready to give up the moment Alyssa walked back into that workroom, I think it warranted her staying. So we talked about Fifi and Coco already. Let's move on to Alyssa and Alaska. Now, Alaska talked about in the workroom earlier that she's going to use the strategy of essentially, to quote an episode of The West Wing that I just watched, to let Alyssa be Alyssa. And to basically say, Alyssa, you just go off and start talking, and I'm just going to come in with the one-word responses. Brent, did this work for you? Do you feel like it ended up being evenly balanced? I know you could say on paper it didn't, but Ross seemed to believe that, you know, my eyes were always drawn back to you, Alaska, for the last word after every line that was said.
You know, I have to agree with Ross on this one. You know, quantity-wise, it didn't seem like it was balanced, but quality-wise, it was to me, because Alyssa said some things that were very funny, and you always felt like, okay, well, there's a joke, or there's a pun, or there's something to land with Alaska that you know is coming. And it did. Like, it landed every time. Like, I was very much intrigued by what I saw from Alaska, and I thought it was great in giving Alyssa her Alyssa-ness and just reacting to that, because I thought it made them both look great.
Mm-hmm. Allie, as a recent Edwards convert, were you happy to see her in full force this episode?
I loved this duo. I mean, first of all, I think Alaska looked gorgeous. Like, I was almost like uncomfortable with how beautiful she looked. But I thought they were incredible. I thought Alaska did just enough and really showed that even when she's not, you know, in the last episode where she was like, I'm going to be baby JJ and that's just what's going to happen, and she had the main role there, even when she takes the secondary role, I still think she's the star. I mean, I think I was drawn to her, just like Ross said and Brent said. One thing I will say is when Carson says, like, Alyssa can just, like, purse her lips and do whatever, and she's hysterical, and they cut to Fifi rolling her eyes. Fifi just needs to get over the fact that Alyssa and Alaska both are just have a natural star power. They have that X factor. It's not that Alyssa gets a free ride. It's just that she has that extra oomph that, like, you know, you can't communicate that quality that she has. And Fifi doesn't have it. And she's jealous. She's a hater.
You're right about that.
Definitely. I mean, I will play devil's advocate a little bit in that, like, if you are in that type of situation where you're competing with somebody and you hear one of the judges, one of the people that might be directly responsible for sending people home, essentially say, well, this competitor can essentially do no wrong in my eyes. That's a little disparaging. But again, we talked about,
but there's a reason. It's not just because they like her or whatever. It's because what she does do works for her. Yeah. And Fifi doesn't have that.
Exactly, but that's frustrating. I would be frustrated.
Yeah, it sucks.
Fifi's gone beyond to, you know, Fifi's not just saying, well, it's frustrating. Fifi's lashing out, you know, where she I'm with Ali on this one. God, Fifi's so effing jealous. Like, she can't stand the fact that people don't adore her, worship her, think she's awesome, amazing. Like, that's what Fifi demands to me. It feels like she wants that from me and insists on that. And you just can't do that when you don't have star power. And she doesn't have it yet. And I don't think you can get it either. You can't go down to the drugstore and buy it. You know, you got to have it. And Alyssa has it. Alaska has it. A few other people have it. I think Katya has it. But Fifi doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you guys.
I think that
Fifi's just taking those feelings that I think we would all have and is just using them in the complete wrong way. Whereas usually I think you would want that to fuel your own performance. Instead, she's using it to almost break down her own performance. And I think everyone has said after Fifi's elimination, even, that she's extremely talented. She's just letting things get to her. I mean, she proved on season 4 and even on a couple episodes in this season how good she can be. She just is sort of letting the competition really get to her, but we are definitely putting the cart before the horse.
Right? It's impossible not to talk about it. I tell you.
let's bring out the woman who formerly rode a horse in Ginger Minj and Katya here, doing their own little bits. So the theming of theirs is a little different from everyone else. This is going to be more so the an odd couple of here's the Russian transvestite hooker and the Southern Belle. We're different as can be. This one is going to be landing squarely in the middle between the 5 acts that sort of occur. Allie, do you think that was the right placement?
I mean, I thought they were very, very funny. I actually would have put them above Tatiana Detox, but I'm learning that I just don't get Tatiana, and people love her. I feel like I've disagreed a lot of times where she's come out on top, and I'm okay with it. But for me, Ginger and Katya, I was laughing. I have written down just that they killed. And I disagree that it was, you know, it was work and that they should have had more joy. I liked their sensibility.
I have to say, I disagree with Allie on this one. I really was disappointed more with this one because I really felt like they were going to knock it out of the ballpark with both of them. But it felt to me like it was two different acts in one. Like, to call it the odd couple is not a stretch because I really felt like it was two different people doing two different shows that happened to just sort of mash together somehow. And I didn't love their looks. Boy, I mean, Allie, how can you not clock what they were wearing? It didn't look good. I mean, like, what was Katya wearing with that shoulder pads on top of shoulder pads?
She's giving us working girl realness.
I guess, but I wasn't as impressed. I mean, to me, this was the third best act, and it landed third, so I thought that was pretty appropriate.
Yeah, I
mean, I don't think...
No, go ahead. It's your show, Allie. Go. We haven't heard from you in weeks. Tell us what you want to say.
No. All I was going to say is I was just going to agree with you about Ginger's look. I haven't liked one of Ginger's looks, I think, since she walked in and had that jumpsuit on.
I agree that I think the third was a good place, and I was happy to see Katya at least safe this week after they pulled the surprise bottom 3 last week, and she ended up in there when we all kind of agreed last week that she didn't really deserve to be that much in the bottom. I mean, I think the comment that it was either Carson or Ross made about the two of them, their outfits, not only being questionable on their own merit, but not even matching whatsoever as compared to like Tatiana and Detox, who are wearing literally the exact same outfit, just color reversed.
How does that happen? Can you explain
I think what
that?
Happened,
were there looks there they could use?
Yes, I think what happened is that, I'm guessing here, but based on the outfit, I'm guessing that Detox, who has money and brings a lot of stuff with her, anticipated a challenge like this where you're going to have to work in pairs. She brought another dress that was the mirror image of the one that she was wearing. And it just so happened that she got a queen like Tatiana who it fits. So I'm guessing that's what happened, because those two looks were absolutely, I mean, whoever, that those two looks came from the same closet. It wasn't like she turned up with this one and she turned up with this one. You know, I would not accept that. They were so similar. Somebody had to bring both of them, and they both have, like, you know, God to hand body. So they were able to wear them.
Yeah. So with Ginger and Katya's bit, I like the first joke of, you know, that the last time she got a clap from a room full of people. I thought that was a funny way to start off, but the jokes didn't necessarily feel new to me. They were all sort of cracks about Ginger being fat and not having a neck and Katya being a whore. And they were all fine jokes, but I feel like I've heard them beforehand. And it's fun coming out of their mouths. But if I compare them to some of the other bits that were going on overall, I mean, it's not that hard to do better than Fifi and Coco and Roxy. So I think, you know, they landed square in the middle for me. Let's move on to the other pairing that is going to end up with our other returning queen here in Detox and Tatiana. Brent, what were your thoughts about Lydia Lady Bits and Beatrice Backdoor talking about their new benefit?
I really, really loved this one, and because I think that it went to a place that Detox is comfortable with. Like, let's be real. Going back to the roast from season 5, Detox got red because she was saying F every other word. Okay. That's what Detox is, crass. That's Detox. And I think the act was appropriately crass. This was in her wheelhouse. This was talking about things that people just don't normally talk about. And I really thought that it was very, very funny. The difference between this act and Ginger and Katya's act is exactly what Mike said. With Katya and Ginger, I was smiling and maybe chuckling a little bit, but the jokes felt stale. With Tatiana and Detox, I was literally like laughing, like, oh my God, that was funny. Like, that was really funny. Oh my God. You know, like, it made me light up. And if you can get somebody to do that in the audience, I think you've succeeded.
Allie,
I guess I'm just over the penis joke.
The prolapse joke, and then the assholes were out. Like, I mean, I thought that the timing on that one, it was not a timing kind of thing. It was like the timing was good, because like, Tatiana had the thing about the prolapse. They let, you know, you have to allow for the laugh in comedy. A lot of queens get ahead of the laugh and then you can't hear what they said, or the joke doesn't land because they didn't quite hear what you said. So Tatiana said her thing about, you know, the prolapses or whatever. And then, you know, there was a little bit of a chuckle, and then Detox came in with the bam, you know, the assholes were out. And it was, I thought it was great. And it showed a real sense of timing and talent, I thought.
Yeah, Tatiana said the rosebuds were in full bloom, and I feel they did go full bloom in this bit.
Yes, thank you. I forgot about the rosebuds thing. Yes. I mean, like, if people don't know, that's another butt joke. So, like there was a joke upon a joke upon a joke, and they kept building. I love jokes like that, that build. Like, it's a chuckle, then it's a laugh, then it's a guffaw. Like, it's just like, oh my God, that was like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, you know, that's where it was for me.
So I,
you know, I'm definitely not trying to take anything away from you. All I was just saying is that I'm just sick of, like, I get it. The Alyssa's secret, the same part, the I have a secret, it's my penis. And I thought that was like kind of a hokey way for them to end it. But no. I'm not shocked that they won. I'm not upset that they won. You know,
I'm in agreement with both of you. Actually, I thought the first half of this bit was a lot of fun. I think obviously a little bit of fabricated drama when they were in the room with Ross and Chelsea about how, you know, Ross was like, oh, you're going too blue. And they had that AIDS joke that I think they really were not a big fan of. But this isn't like the season 6 stand-up challenge where they were performing for a bunch of old people. These are drag queens and people that want to be there to see them. So I thought they did really well. I was actually very surprised by Tatiana. I mean, I think she even said in one of the bonus videos this week how she doesn't feel like she could do this type of stuff. You know, she usually is very scripted. So I think Detox definitely held her hand through this, but I think she worked really well. I agree with Allie though. I think we had this joke at the end about, you know, oh, I've had a secret. I used to have braces. And it was a funny joke, but we saw this in her first week and we've seen it a couple of times. And I'm hopeful that this isn't just the only card that she has in her comedy deck. I do want to talk about Detox a little bit because she'll end up in the top. And some could argue that she's one of the reasons why Tatiana wound up coming back into the competition. I know Brent and I talked a little bit last week with Lita about how we have been pleasantly surprised by Detox and how she's been doing a very solid job throughout this season. I would love to get your thoughts, Allie. Are you in agreement? What are your thoughts about Detox through the first half of this season?
It's funny because I was watching this episode. I was thinking a lot about how I feel about Detox. I loved Detox on her original season. Detox isn't really here for me on this season. Like, she's coming, she's showing up, she's performing. She's had some very memorable, amazing looks, but I'm sort of bored. Like, we're not really talking about her. There's not much drama being stirred up by her. I don't know. I mean, I guess she's just been a solid competitor, but I'm not having the same feelings that I had on her original season.
Well, I mean, to me, and shocker, I'll disagree with you. I really love what Detox is bringing. She's not invisible for me. And the fact that she's been so consistent, she's only ended up in the bottom once. And even that time was complete and utter horse shit. Like, that was the time where she came out with that look where she, like, her thighs weren't even touching each other. You know, the Blade Runner where she had the unibrow and all that. Like, and she did amazing.
Yeah, the latex.
Yeah,
look.
She did amazing that week. So there was, I mean, and they didn't even consider eliminating her that week. So she's basically not been in the bottom two ever. And her first season five, she was in the bottom two a couple different times. And she's been so solid and so good. She's put in serviceable work, getting the challenges done. Like, this is what the show calls for. And this is what Alaska is really good at is, you know what? I may not be the best drag queen ever. I mean, it may not be the most talented, but I'm really good at taking these challenges and knocking them down. And the thing that people always said about Detox on her first season was that she kind of acted like she was too cool for school. Like, she was over this shit, you know, and she was, that's where they felt like she was kind of mailing it in. And that's why she ended up in fourth place. This season, I do not feel like she's mailing it in. I feel like she's there. I feel like she's in it to win it. I feel like she's peaking at the right time. Like, I felt like this was one of her best episodes. And I'm not trying to oversell her here. But again, I did not have a high bar for Detox coming into this challenge because I remember her from the roast. And I didn't really like her in the roast. I thought she was really too crass and she didn't know how to talk without cursing. And I also have problems with that sometimes. So the fact that she was able to put together a very solid act and have a great sense of timing, which is totally lost on some of these other queens. I mean, I'm really, really psyched about Detox as a possible winner this season.
Yeah, I mean, I would go so far as to say that I think Detox is number two in the power rankings behind Alaska.
I'd agree. Yep,
I think
I'd agree
that
too.
She has shown that she is pretty well-rounded. Was she not great in Snatch Game? Yes, but that's really been her one stumbling block throughout this entire season. She did well in the acting challenge, the comedy challenge, especially well on the runway in creating looks. And she's done well on the lip syncs as well, so I mean, she really has it all, probably a little less so, you know, we're turning down all the dials from what Alaska has in terms of skills. But I think she has a chance, especially if Alaska ends up going in a shock boot before the finals, of actually winning this thing.
You know, I have to say,
I'm willing to say there's zero chance that Detox wins the game, and I will write her a letter.
Well, I do not agree with that. I think there's a solid chance that Detox could win. You know what this feels like? I have to tell you. This feels like, and it's so funny. I did a Periscope like a week ago and I used a figure skating analogy and I'm going to do it again. Like, if you guys know Michelle Kwan and Tara Lipinski, like, honestly, it feels like Alaska is Michelle Kwan. Like, she's always there. She's so consistent, so amazing. Everybody loves her. And then you have somebody who's on the outside who you think is like second, but not quite as good as the queen. And eventually that person comes up and bites you. I do feel like there's a chance that Detox could win this competition. I do, because she's been so good, so consistent all season long. She knows how to turn out a look more than anybody else. And if there's one place that Alaska struggles, It's in the beat and the look. And that is something that Detox has on lock. So I think that there's...
Let me just say a couple of things supporting this because I'm going to get hammered if I don't. I think Alaska's looks have been shockingly good for Alaska this season. Like, I agree with you. Normally, that's not... I've been shocked two or three times by just how amazing her makeup has been and her look has been this season. I'll also say, and I don't know why, I'm just, I agree with everything you guys are saying, like, substantively about Detox's performance. And I was advocating for Detox when she was in the latex look that she should not have even been in the bottom of that week. But for some reason, like, we're not talking about her unless Mike says, okay, wait, let's just talk about Detox for a second, right? Like, Detox is not... I don't think it's ever been on the forefront of my mind for, oh, I can't wait to talk about, besides that latex look, I can't wait to talk about what Detox has been doing on the podcast. And I don't know why I'm the biggest proponent this week of the it factor, but there is just something to be said about star quality and it factor with these drag queens. And I don't know that Detox has it where I'm really remembering her without looking at my notes week after week.
I mean, and I guess that might be sort of the other edge to this sword of being so good and so solid. I mean, I know in improvisation, they say the best improvisers are those that make their partner look good, not make themselves look good. I almost felt like Detox did that last week in the Sheequals challenge where she supported Katya enough to really make Katya stand out. You could argue she did that this week with Tatiana. It could be a case where she's so good at being supportive that we're not really talking about her too much because she's not really rising above the radar. But I think the reason why I brought her up is looking back at these past 5 weeks of work as a general resume, other than that one mark from the snatch game, I thought she's really been doing fantastically. And admittedly, yes, I am a little surprised because, as you said, we don't really, you know, froth the mouth over her unless we're really talking about her looks on the runway. But I feel like she's one of these queens. There's always, I feel like, might have been somewhere, I think, on the AV club, somebody said the final three of almost every season, it's a front runner, it's a beauty queen, and it's an underdog. And I feel like Detox could definitely be the underdog in a final three this year where, you know, she's been doing very solidly. No one's really talked about her that much as a possible winner, but she could sneak her way in there. And if she kills it in the last week, she might have a good chance of winning, in my
opinion. I think she could win too. And let me say two things. Number one, I think she could win because she's been putting in the work and Rue notices that. I think Rue notices that the fact that season five, she really was kind of mailing it in, didn't really give a shit. This year, total turnaround for me. Really cares about it. Is having a good time. Happy to be there. I think it's really thankful to be there, actually. And it's just really at home on the set of RuPaul's Drag Race. And if Rue's looking for somebody else to reward besides Alaska, I think that Detox could be it. Here's the other thing. When I'm watching Detox in the confessionals, it's such a change from season five. Like, I don't know if you guys remember season five, but Detox was just like, I can't even say the word that I want to say. Like, I mean, it almost came out of my mouth, but she's bitchy. She was just bitchy during the confessionals. And like throughout this season, she's been so happy. Like, she's just happy to be there. She's having a good time. Like, you know, if I get eliminated, oh, well, you know, I'm here to crank it out. Let's turn it up. And, I've just been, it's been a joy to watch and I don't want to oversell her, but I was not a fan of Detox coming into the season. So it's like, I get to discover her again and I'm really liking what I'm seeing.
All right, so let's put the pin in that because we will be obviously be talking about more Detox, at least for one more week, as she is safe. We have Tatiana and Alyssa are going to lip sync for their lives while simultaneously determining who is going to go home amongst the bottom queens of Fifi and Roxy. We get to this deliberation and Fifi refuses to pitch herself. She says, I think my work speaks for itself, sort of tidies up her hands and just sort of sits back and lets the waves kind of crash over her. Allie, let's put ourselves in Fifi's brain here. Do you think she's given up at this point, or do you think she actually thinks this is a legitimate strategy to say, I'm not going to say anything or try to throw anyone under the bus. Let me just let my work speak for itself.
I mean, I'm with Roxy. I'm with Alyssa and Tatiana here. It's like, you better let a bitch know why you should be here. And that's not the same as begging. And this was a totally ego-driven moment where Fifi is kind of more like, if we're doing what we're saying we're going to do, I'm better than her. I've been in the bottom less and I should stay. I also would not put it past Fifi for this to be some sort of strategic thing to pressure Roxy from talking about it. Because then we see Roxy also kind of saying the same thing where Fifi's like, I'm not going to beg. Like, I don't need to beg. And then hopefully Roxy won't campaign either.
Brent. Yeah. Oh, well, sorry. I mean, you know, it's like that old song, you know, I ain't too proud to beg. Fifi is too proud to beg. She's not. And by the way, I reject the fact that it's begging. It's not begging. That's how Fifi wants to frame it. It's not begging. It's letting your competitors know how much you want to be there. You know, like, tell me why. Like, Fifi is just like, she is so full of herself. She cannot handle the fact that people don't just worship the ground that she walks on. Like, to Fifi, it's completely obvious that she should be there. She's done amazing work. Like, if these queens are being fair, then they won't eliminate me. And that's how she feels. She just, God, she's so full of it, Mike. I can't stand her.
I think there definitely is an amount of hubris in there as well of her saying, you know, and it's interesting that she says, you know, I'm not going to beg, but then she ends up eking out an appearance where she talks to people and says, you know, Roxy's been in the bottom three times. This is my second time. I think you know who to get rid of. But then why, Allie, does she say, okay, I'm not going to, you know, spread any shit. I'm just going to sort of let me speak for me. But then goes into Tatiana and does her little social engineering and brings up, oh, I'm glad that you're in the top because of the detox thing. How is that not self-sabotage in her mind?
She really can't help it. Like, I just really think, especially through this whole season, you see, like, no matter how conscious she tries to be about this, no matter how much she tries to convince herself that this is not who she is, she cannot stop herself from doing it. And I truly believe she doesn't even notice she's doing it. Like, she is so painfully unaware. I have no idea. There is absolutely no benefit for her doing this. It's not like Detox is also in the bottom or something. Like, there's no reason to throw Detox under the bus here.
Yeah, I'm with Allie. She doesn't seem to understand that she's doing this. Again, you know, Fifi on Twitter is like, well, you know, they're pulling that out to make me look bad. I'm like, girl, no, they didn't ask you to say that. You said that. She's like, well, context is everything. I'm like, well, I saw the context. Like, this is what happened. You said this to her when you were about to be eliminated. Why are you doing that? You're throwing Detox under the bus. Why are you doing that? You're saying that you don't do that, but you do that. And you just, it's like, it's almost very Trumpian where you're showing her like, this is what you said, bitch. And she's like, no, but I didn't. I was thinking this and the context and, you know, like, plus I wasn't there and I was for it, I was against it. I mean, it was just, that's how it feels to me. It just like a total inability to face the truth.
I just don't understand. She got caught talking out of both sides of her mouth, essentially. But why do you feel like you need to talk out of your mouth to begin with?
Because, again. Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, why, unless it's a defensive tactic to sort of just create chaos so you can sort of climb the ladder to the top, why do you constantly go up to people and say, you know, oh, you shouldn't be doing this. Oh, I'm glad you survived because Detox wasn't that good. When Tatiana calls out in the confessional that she had heard her tell Detox that Tatiana wasn't funny. Like, there's no need to do this. Granted that we thought this might be something that we would see the fun that might come from this format, but if she's the only one doing it and nobody else is playing that game, she's going to get caught out fast. And again, I wonder if it's partially attributed to the fact that, again, she says it in interviews that I think as soon as Alyssa kind of walked in, she was ready to go home. And maybe she's just ready to sink her ship as fast as she can and is just sort of going out in a blaze of glory. But if she is, I don't know. I really do not want her to go out in this fashion, if that's the case, to really just sink her entire reputation as well.
Well, she doesn't seem capable of not doing that on social media, but we'll get to that. So let's talk about the lip sync. Or actually, do you want to talk about the lip sync or you want to talk about the workroom anymore?
No, let's.
Can I just say one more thing about this quickly? Go. One thing I will say with Alyssa when she meets with Roxy, like, Alyssa gave Roxy's pitch to stay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You didn't even get to like bounce ideas off someone else and see if they were funny. Rex is like, oh, yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I have to say that if I was making an honest call here, I think probably Roxy should have been eliminated. Roxy's been clearly bottom and not in the fun way all season long. She's been there three times. You know, Fifi's only been there once. and there was, you know, there were only five queens to choose from, and Fifi was essentially fourth. So I do feel like Roxy probably should have gotten the chop here, but I think Fifi's attitude was just terrible.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I think this is definitely a time when all the queens were in agreement to just sort of skip the order, because I can only assume, you know, her attitude in the workroom probably resonated as well, and it's sort of like the case on Survivor where
yes.
you get rid of like the final three goat just because if they annoy you. That's the Abby Maria thing, right? It's like, oh, we could easily bring her to the final three and she'll get us the win in a heartbeat, but she's so damn annoying to put up with that we have to vote her out right now. I feel like Fifi was sort of the Abby Maria in a way where, yes, I mean, she might not be the best and she's clearly self-sabotaging herself, but she is causing so much drama and causing us to tear our wigs out that I think we need to get rid of her as soon as possible.
Right. But I mean, like, to give credit to Abby, like, Abby Maria is self-aware. Like, she knows, the bitch knows what she's doing. Okay. She's in on the joke. She knows what's going on. Fifi seems totally incapable of seeing what the reality is.
So let's get to this lip sync here. Allie, the first lip sync for your life, Rue missed saying that. Did you miss this overall? Do you feel like there were some added stakes in having two contestants compete for a chance to get back in the game rather than just $10,000?
Yes, thank God. I mean, this, I think, we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks about how lip syncing for your legacy kind of takes the incentive out of like really doing, giving your all. This was the best lip sync of the season, mm-hmm. I think, bar none. And one of the best lip syncs I've seen in a while, even just not for the season. I thought it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I have to say, I've come around. We said that I was going to see how this twist goes with the queens eliminating each other and lip syncing for their legacy. And I liked the fact that Rue's giving them $10,000 a piece, and that was all great. But there was nothing like watching two queens absolutely work their ass off because they're scared of going home. And you're sitting at home going, you know, who's it going to be? Like, who's it going to be? You know, whereas when it's the winners, I kind of don't give a shit about who's it going to be. I really don't, you know, like who last week I felt like they were both going to eliminate Alyssa. So whether or not it was Fifi or Alaska, I just didn't give a shit. I didn't, it's not my money. And I didn't realize how this was going to impact me. And I think, I have to say, I would be surprised if this twist comes back again. I think that Rue realizes it didn't work as well as you wanted it to work, that the lip sync isn't coming off the way we want it to come off. And like, there was nothing like the drama of having to fight for your life in front of your competitors and the judges and America when you're doing a song like this. Like, it was really amazing to watch. I loved it. And Allie's right. It was the best lip sync of the season.
Yeah. I very much think that between this and the teams that Rue's going to say, okay, we'll stick with format changes for All Stars only. And for the tried and true RuPaul's Drag Race, we'll do what we usually do. Because yeah, this is one of the reasons why I love this show, or watching two queens really leave it all on the stage, because this is their one way ticket back to competing for $100,000. I was super surprised in Tatiana's performance. Obviously, Alyssa is a heavily known dancer. You know that she is going to leave to, you know, sweat it all off on the stage. But Tatiana was, I would say, keeping up for the most part. I mean, Alyssa was definitely flashier. She did the jump into the split, but Tatiana was definitely bringing it on her own. So much so that when both of them ended up getting brought back, at least from my perspective, I wasn't necessarily mad at it. I would say overall that I've been pretty impressed by Tatiana so far, Snatch Game notwithstanding. So if we had to bring another one back, I guess I'm sort of happy that it's Tatiana. I don't know what overall effect she's going to have on the rest of the show and whether she can send some of these power players home. But I mean, no harm, no foul if we had to bring somebody back to make up for Adore going out in week two.
I just think that this is great because we get to see more of Tatiana. I felt like it was so cut short. Like I wanted to see more drag from Tatiana. I haven't seen her since season two. You know, maybe even if you guys are watching out there in the audience and you're like Allie and you're not really into Tatiana and you really don't see what there is to see, you're going to get to see more drag from her. And it's always fun to see new drag. The thing I think that we were surprised about in this episode, the fact that Tatiana kept up so well in the lip sync and danced her ass off, that's because we've never seen her before. You know, we've only seen, it was like season two, for God's sake. Okay. So like, the reason that Alyssa, like, some of the, yeah, she had flashier moves, But I've seen all those moves. I've already seen all of that. I mean, there's only so many moves you can make. So the reason it was looking close on stage is because Tatiana has a freshness about her that you want to discover more things, or at least I do. And if you're not with me, I understand. But I can't wait to see more of Tatiana in this drag race.
All right.
I'm with you. I thought just really quick. Sorry. No. I thought like Tatiana did so well in this lip sync to the point where they first announced that Tatiana won. I wasn't angry or surprised. I mean, I was like a little surprised just that the producers would let Alyssa go. But I really did think that it could have been called for Tatiana just overall.
Me too.
I do want to bring up, we had another situation with matching outfits again. How did they get these matching outfits?
I don't know. Because they both changed before the lip sync as well, which has been done quite a few times this season. I guess with the deliberations, they're able to. But yeah, we get more yin and the yang, black and white. And they paired between that and their movesets, they both paired really nicely together, surprisingly.
Right. Yeah. They've been doing that all season long, changing. I mean, like, unless you have something you can.
No, but they were the same outfit. And it was like a silver version, right, and a black version of pretty much the same outfit. I want to know if anyone knows if production is providing these looks, if Alyssa's bringing two of everything and Detox's bringing two of everything. Someone please let me know. This is the most pressing issue in my life, all right, currently.
So both queens are brought back, and now, first, I get to split the 10K, which I think is a little BS. It kind of sucks that they have to.
So
they
cheap.
Get, yeah, they're pretty, pretty cheap. They had this, I guess they had to splurge on, you know, having Shut Up and Drive play by leasing out to Rihanna's record group. But they now get to both choose a queen to go home. And if they both pick someone separately, there's a chance that both Roxy and Fifi could go home. Though I don't think anybody out there really thought there was a chance that was going to happen, especially considering, I think Tatiana, there's a chance she could have chosen Roxy until, as the editing might say, until Fifi decided to, you know, talk out of both sides of her mouth and revealed that she'd been doing a lot of double talking. And maybe that was what sort of sealed her fate. They both choose Fifi to go home. Brent, give me your thoughts about the way Fifi's exit was shown. Was it the rudest exit we've seen in RuPaul's Drag Race history?
It was close. And I'm trying to think of another one that was as rude. And this is the point where I think Fifi loses all credibility to me, because she continually says how she's looking for redemption, but then you behave like that when you're eliminated. Every other queen, like when Alyssa was eliminated last week, she had grace. She didn't know she was going to come back. She was funny and she left with a smile, and we were all like gagging for more. Like, I was so happy that Alyssa seemed happy with her experience last week. And Fifi this week, you know, she gives a smirk. She's got that eye roll. She walks off. She doesn't hug them. Then afterwards in social media, she's saying, well, I didn't want to hug them because I didn't want to start crying. Well, girl, you're a professional. Get it together, bitch. Okay. And then she said, well, I didn't want to hug Alyssa because she was being fake to me. And I'm like, well, it seems like you're being pretty fake yourself. So like, look in the mirror, honey. I just don't understand. And you're going to hear me say this a lot. I'm just going to repeat myself. So be prepared. I don't understand Fifi. I don't understand how she can't see the reality of what she's putting out into the world. She just is incapable of not being angry. That's what I feel like. There is severe anger issues within Fifi O'Hara. If you can't see it on the show, you can see it in the confessionals. You can see it in social media. She's unable to bottle that anger or direct it to something. She continually lashes out, blames everybody else. It's their fault. It's not mine. It's the producer's fault. It's not mine. It's RuPaul's fault. It's not mine. Okay. And that's why RuPaul put out that gif of Jessica Rabbit saying, I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way. And Ru was like, oh, okay. Because it's bullshit. Okay. Nobody acts like that. And you can't edit that into something else. Fifi acted like this the whole way through. She was just a complete and utter bitch most of the time. And let me just say, I love her drag. And I just want to finish my rant here real quickly, because Fifi, she wanted redemption. I feel like she got it, but she won't take yes for an answer, because I loved Fifi's drag this season. Some of the things she put out were spectacular. I couldn't believe some of the things she did, but she will not own what she's putting out. And it just seems like if she did that she would have a much better time. She would be more fulfilled. And I think that people would like her more, but she's, I think somebody said earlier, I can't remember. I can't find the comment. Oh, here it is. somebody said this on an Out article. They said if she had owned being a nasty, manipulative, evil bitch instead of pretending she wasn't, people would love her. Like, Katya owns the fact that she's a monster. She says bitchy things to people, that she's evil, that she's nasty. People fucking love her for that. Fifi just doesn't get it. Rant over.
Allie, are you trolling eBay right now to see if there's a trophy up for $10,000 on RuPaul?
How shit is that?
I do think, and again, I'm not a Fifi defender here, but I do feel like that was a joke. And I think if we remember Fifi from season 4, sometimes when she's joking, it does not come off very well.
I thought that was a decent joke. I mean, her goodbye message, she also, not just in social media, but the goodbye message she wrote on the mirror was, I wanted to avoid hugs because of tears. Love you all. Jump in a car, Fifi. I think that's complete and utter bullshit, right? as Brent said. I mean, I echo everything Brent said. I think when Alyssa said, I celebrate you, I celebrate your drag, like, I don't think Alyssa was being fake. Like, I think Alyssa is Alyssa, and Fifi just can't take it. She's consumed by jealousy. She's consumed by her anger. And the other thing is, if you're really worried about crying, like, so what, bitch, cry. Like, show that you have emotions. We would love that.
Yeah, I'll make another figure skating analogy, Brett, and I'll say this is sort of like a Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding situation, where if Fifi just concentrated on doing her own drag instead of trying to club Alyssa Edwards in the knees, then she could have done well instead of losing out to Oksana Bayul at the end of the day. If we're segueing here into eulogizing Fifi a bit, I mean, I will say, I think through the first 5 episodes of this season, she's definitely one of the bigger characters, but I think for all the reasons that she didn't want to be a big character. Let's compare like the paths of her and Roxy, right? They both said, I was considered a huge bitch coming off of my season. I'm ready to show that I'm not that. Roxy has definitely proven that although she might not be the most skilled queen left, she definitely is nicer. Fifi has gone back to old tricks, and you can say part of that might be editing or part of that might be personality, but part of that is still personality. And I think that there is an inherent part of Fifi that even if she doesn't think it's being bitchy, whether she's telling people, oh, you shouldn't do that character, oh, this person's funnier than you, oh, your dress is too big, if she thinks those are constructive, they're not. And that's part of, I think, her problem. The thing that saddens me is that I think from this whole experience, I honestly feel like Fifi O'Hara is done with drag. I know that there's a Zaptuit article that says she's done with drag. They outlined a few very vague tweets. They were not as quote worthy as last week's, but you know, she was casting a lot of vague shade at Alyssa, saying that Alyssa had talked on camera about how she had more followers than Fifi and was saying a lot of comments that never ended up being shown and how that's unfair. But it seems like between, you know, Fifi releasing a single under her name Jeremy and probably doing a lot more things out of drag, I would not be completely surprised if, you know, by this time next year, Fifi O'Hara's character is retired and it's just Jeremy Carey moving forward.
I would have to totally disagree with you, Mike. I think Fifi's going to get a hard crack in the mouth when she realizes that nobody gives a shit about Jeremy Carey. Okay. We only care about Fifi O'Hara. Fifi is on record of saying that I've lost all respect for RuPaul. RuPaul doesn't treat us like people. We're just game pieces for her on the show. And she didn't even care enough to know who we are. And she talks about how when Ru unfollowed her, that she was being completely bitchy. And she said, I lost all respect for Ru. And I'm like, you know what, queen, sit your ass down. Because you have 80,000 followers on Twitter. And I guarantee you, none of that is because of goddamn Jeremy Carey. Okay, nobody knows who Jeremy is. And nobody's going to know. Like, I know you released a single. By the way, this all makes sense to me now. I don't know if you saw, Bob the Drag Queen hosted a get-together where all of the queens from the show came back to promote All Stars. I think it was on AOL or something else that it was done on YouTube. And everybody came in drag except for Fifi O'Hara. And they said, well, this is like, you know, 5 weeks ago. And they said, well, why did you come in no drag? And Fifi was like, well, you know, I knew everybody was going to come and drag today, so I just wanted to come and show a different side to myself. Like, this is Jeremy. And I'm like, that was really weird. Like, you know, but now it all makes sense to me. Like, this was all planned. She knew exactly what she was going to do. Mike, when you said last week that the album drop happened the day after she knew all the shit was going to blow up about her. Yes, you're so right. Everything was planned with her. This is why you have to take everything that Fifi says with a grain of salt. Because I guarantee you, number one, Fifi will be back. Jeremy will be back in the closet a year from now because Fifi's going to quickly learn that she won't get anybody to listen to her if she's not in drag, because this is the character America knows, okay? It's just not going to work that way. And number two, I feel like really coming for Logo and RuPaul, biting the hand that feeds you, girl, bad form. You're going to pay for it.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I even thought back to when my wife went to the big gay ice cream giveaway before the All-Stars premiere, and she said that Fifi was like in an ice cream truck and wasn't even really in drag, and I thought nothing of it, like this Bob the Drag Queen thing. But now looking back, it seems like now that she knew everything that was happening, she's starting to slowly try to put that back in the closet. Though, like Brent said, we'll see if she ends up revisiting that image in a year or so. Allie, what do you think Fifi's edit on this season is going to have an effect on her career? I mean, she talked about relentlessly throughout the season about how after season four, she got threats of acid thrown on her face. She didn't get bookings. Let's play devil's advocate. Let's say she does continue to do drag after this. Is she going to be back into a cycle where she will not get bookings and the world thinks she's a bitch again?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it's funny to note that currently, as we speak, she's doing a drag brunch in New York City at the Hard Rock as Fifi. I don't know that she's going to come as Fifi, but she's billed as Fifi. I don't know. I agree with Brent largely that to give up this persona that you've built up on television is going to be difficult to stay famous without it. I do think, though, if I were Fifi, I would want to come as a different human also, because I do think she's going to be even more hated than she was. I mean, I don't want to say I hate her, but I dislike her more now.
But isn't that because of her, though?
It's more frustrating.
Isn't that because of Fifi? It's
totally because of Fifi, 100%. And I think what you're saying is going to have the biggest effect on her career is the fact that she's completely burned RuPaul and World of Wonder and Logo and all of the other queens. And I think to bite the hand that feeds you is going to be her biggest downfall of her professional career. I mean, is she ever going to be on a bots tour? No. I'm surprised she's even allowed in this advertising for the brunch to say, like, RuPaul's Drag Race is Fifi O'Hara.
Let me read you something that Fifi said. It's in a Vulture article, and just this little snippet. This is Fifi talking. She said, "I've completely lost all respect for RuPaul because she has the power to stand up and say, you know what? This show is only for entertainment. The edit for Fifi is not authentic to who Fifi is, and I wish you guys would just sit there and see that." And she goes on to say, like, her Emmy speech, "I felt like that speech was a big lie. If the show is really about family coming together and standing, then why won't you speak up?" Like, Fifi wants Ru to control this whole situation, but Fifi can't own the fact that Fifi created the situation. So Fifi is basically like a toddler, where the toddler acts up, says things that she shouldn't say, and then they want mommy to make it all better. But girl, that's not mommy's responsibility. You need to learn personal responsibility yourself if you want to be an entertainer and in this business.
All right, so we're going to put that toddler to bed that is Fifi O'Hara and look ahead. We'll start to wrap things up. We would love to hear your thoughts about Fifi, both in this episode and her previous incarnations, and possibly Fifi moving forward, as well as everything else that was going on in this episode. You have a bunch of ways of reaching out to us. You can always comment on robisawebsite.com. While you're there, make sure you're subscribed to not only the Reality TV Rehap Ups feed, but also our RuPaul's Drag Race feed. You can go into the iTunes store and search any one of our names or RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 2, and be sure to subscribe. And not only that, but rate and review us. Throwing it to you, Brent, as always, why should people rate and review our feed on iTunes?
Because we're effing amazing, and where are you going to listen to people like totally bag on Fifi O'Hara? And you know what? I'm sorry, she deserves it. I'm gonna say one more time, this is my last chance to talk about Fifi O'Hara. Like, she has not owned the fact that she's a liar. She is a liar, okay? So she says, like, the Emmy that Ru won, "I felt like that speech was a big lie," okay? No, girl, it wasn't a big lie. Ru is being true to herself. You lied last week. This is the thing. Fifi has never addressed the fact that Fifi lied. I don't know, Allie, if you're aware of this. We talked about this last week, where Fifi said that Carson Kressley's critiques about Detox were for Alyssa and Alyssa's were for Detox. Basically, they switched them to make it look like Alyssa was better than what she really was. And then Logo then released the raw tapes of that. And you saw that Fifi is totally lying. She's lying through her teeth. It did not happen the way that she said it happened. Fifi has never addressed that on Twitter or Instagram or anything. She got caught in a lie and she won't own it. And now she's calling RuPaul a liar.
I almost think she believes it, though.
Oh, my God. Yes,
she does.
She
believes her own shit.
Yeah, it's like she believes her own shit. Like, you told her, like, girl, no, you lied. This is what happened. And she still can't see it. So if you want to sign up and rate us on iTunes, it's because we really look. I work for you people, and Allie does too, and Mike does too. We really look for what's happening in the world of drag and what are these queens saying. Like the show within a show of RuPaul's Drag Race, of the social media world. I mean, that's entertainment unto itself. So give us a goddamn 5-star review. Say that we sent you there. And I want to hear from you, okay?
Absolutely. And we'll hear from you right now. I'll read off a 5-star review that we have currently on our feed from Ev's Pearl. Ev says, sorry, Brent, no shade, because you, Mike, and Allie are fab on this podcast. Parentheses, no fence sitters here. I have been waiting for RHAP to do a RuPaul's Drag Race podcast for years. Thanks for doing such a good one. Yours, Alyssa Andrews. And I will disregard those last two words, but still a great review nonetheless.
A great review.
I do want to point out, though, don't give me the spotlight, because Ev's Pearl wrote Haley, so yeah, shout-outs to Haley.
Yeah, that's true. I did
still
notice that, too.
Still a good night. Still a good night.
Yes, exactly. And I know that I love that person. I have to give them the props for this. They worked in a little bit of shade at our boy Taryn Armstrong by putting in the fence setter part. So good for you. I gotcha. Yes. I heard it.
The best RuPaul's Drag Race feed reviews must feature shade thrown at Taryn Armstrong. It is a must. As always, you can follow us all on Twitter. Brent is at OneLuckyGay. Allie is at LashTweets. I am at a Mike Bloom type. Let's come up with a hashtag for this podcast, guys. I like the reference to the song earlier, Brent. Do we want to go with Too Proud to Beg to send Fifi off in style?
That sounds like a winner to me.
Perfect. So we will be back next week talking about a redo of our we're at 7 again. Is that what the count is?
Right, six again. Is it 6? Right. Yeah, because it was top 5 last week. Now it's 6 again. Yeah.
So we're back at 6. The Sinful 6 are back, and we will be back next week to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars. We'd love to hear from you guys. Thanks as always for listening. For now, sashay away. Bye.